Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your professional handicapped host, James Cox. I have another interview today. It's going to be a great one today. It's going to be Rhea Banerjee. Yes.
Yep, you got it.
Yes, because I talked to her about how to pronounce it, and I wanted to make it like A+, you know, pronunciation. So there we have it, Banerjee.
Energy. There you go. It looks harder than it is.
That name is so awesome. I've never seen it before, but that's you got an awesome name. Awesome name.
Thank you.
So today on When Words Fail, we welcome the true native force, Rhea Banerjee.
There you go. Yep.
A writer, musician, a voiceover artist. Rhea's work lives at an intersection of emotional honesty and artistic depth. Whether she's lending her voice to global brands like Beats by Dre, or crafting vivid essays and lyrics that cut to the core, Rhea invites us into stories that are raw, reflective, and unforgettable. Rhea, how are we doing today?
I'm great. I hope I can live up to that introduction.
Well, that's all you, man. Yeah, because you did it. Really. Yeah, because way before we started talking, I was so tired. I had to come home today, you know, from work, and I really don't do much at work. All I do is just see people at Outback, you know, at their table. But you're always on the go. So do you? Are you sleeping okay, or like are you on any major medication for that?
That's a fair question. To be fair, yes, I am. I'm a night owl and also an insomniac. So it's one of those things where I like to stay up late, and then eventually I'm like, I gotta go to bed, and I'm like, but I can't fall asleep because I got all these ideas spinning in my head. Sometimes I take a little half of an anxiety pill just to make my, it's like the hard disk of my brain needs to spin down. That's how I describe it.
Yeah.
And then I can, then I can get some rest. Yeah.
Well, I imagine like, being a musician is fun, but on the other side, it can be kind of detrimental with sleep and everything, you know, fun. Cause you're, like you said, you're always creating new ideas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, it's funny that you say that. It's every time I come back from a rehearsal, I mean, right now I'm in rehearsals with my band, getting ready for this new album I have coming out. And I like the post-rehearsal adrenaline rush is so intense. And so like I'll get back, it'll be late at night. It'll sometimes I've gotten back as late as 2 o'clock in the morning. And I have a day job. I do have to wake up and like do the job that pays me the money that allows me to pay my rent and my health insurance and all that. And I'm like, I'm just wired. I'm like, oh my God, we had an amazing rehearsal. It's so good. I got the songs buzzing in my head and I'm so excited or whatever. And then I'm just like, I don't know, do I need to drink a cup of chamomile tea? Do I need to like
Something, right? Yeah.
go in a dark room and just force myself to fall asleep? I don't know. So it's like, but I love that too. There's something fun about that post rehearsal adrenaline rush because that means that we're doing well. It means it sounds good. I'm excited about the material. So, but yeah, it's always fun, always exciting, and definitely always not enough sleep.
Not enough, but yeah, it's always good to get out of rehearsal. Like, yes, I nailed it. That's tremendous. And I'm so glad that you feel that when you get out of rehearsal. Sometimes I have that too when I'm talking to musicians like yourself. You're like, man, I really did, and then it makes me so good. But then I do find time to relax, and sometimes I have to take melatonin to go to sleep. So
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's in your books or not, melatonin.
I tried melatonin for years and it used to work and then at some point it stopped. It was like my body was like, I know you're fooling me. So I had to go a little bit harder.
Yeah,
But
your body got used to your I guess I yeah, because your body get used to like certain stuff, and I guess you're so it's kind of weird, so
yeah.
all right, so I would ask you, who are your favorite, who's your inspiration musically? But I wanted to do another twist to that, question for you, because I might, make it fun for you. Okay, so I have to re while researching you, it says you're inspired by, well, okay, so there's many bands that you take from, right? So the Beatles you take for the short term, Beatles, Springsteen, U2 for the storytelling power, Fetal Apple, and Alanis Morissette, which I do have a follow-up question about that, for emotional resonance, Peter Gabriel and Eminem for literally or death, lyrics, and the 90s post-power punk bands and grunge bands, right? So with all that being said, I hope that's correct, and I hope I didn't
Yeah,
mess
that's
anything
it.
up.
That you got it. Yep, that's pretty much
That's your
that's
go-to, right? All right.
exactly that mix of artists is
Yes.
kind of who I became. Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to go through each one of those, and then tell
Ooh, okay.
me which of their songs would you love to cover the most.
Oh, I love this. This is
Right.
great.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start out with one of my favorite bands of all time, the Beatles. So
Yeah.
which song would you like to
Oh my goodness.
cover? Like,
Oh, there's so many.
I
Oh, this
know,
is
yeah,
gonna be
but
so hard.
we're gonna do only one for each band.
I know I have to pick one. Okay, if I pick one, if I have to pick one, oh my goodness.
I know, right? Yeah, it's such a hard question, and
I
I
have
like
to pick
this.
one. I'm gonna go with Something by George Harrison off of Abbey Road. It's a beautiful song. I think that would be a fun one.
Yeah,
I think I would do it.
that is a
Good take.
very, very, very powerful song to be in. Yeah,
Yeah.
and I think
Yeah.
you could knock it out of the park, really.
If you ask me that question tomorrow, I'll probably give you a
Oh
different
yeah,
answer.
yeah. I mean, this could constantly change, because later on in the interview, you're like, I'm going back to that question. All right. So we're gonna do Bruce Springsteen. Which one song would you do?
Springsteen, one sp song by Springsteen. Thunder Road. I actually have covered Thunder Road.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I did an acoustic cover of Thunder Road with my buddy James Urbino back during COVID lockdown. He and I kind of we were in like a COVID pod together, his girlfriend and I and my boyfriend, and we were just trying to keep ourselves sane because we were unemployed and had nothing to do, and we were like, we got to do something. And so we just started picking songs that we liked and doing covers. And specifically, our idea was, let's not do a straight cover. Let's take the song and kind of do our own like spin on it. So we did an acoustic cover of it. It's on my
Oh, I
band
love
camp if
acoustics.
you can check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one of my favorite Springsteen songs generally. And then it was because we did like a slow acoustic cover of it and we were kind of digging into the lyrics. It's one of those songs that you don't realize how sad it is until you
Yeah.
kind of slow it down. You pull back all the E Street band, like the clarinets and the drums and all the big E Street, like the bigness of it. And the actual story of the song is so sad. I mean, like, but sad in a good way, you know what I mean?
Right,
Not
well,
sad like depressed and I don't want to listen to it anymore, but just like it's like touching. It's so just like heart-rending. So yeah, Thunder Road. Maybe that's a cheat because I already have covered
No,
it,
well,
but
I mean, you did cover it, so that makes it, And I love you for that, because I love, personally, I love acoustic songs a lot more than electric guitars. That's just me, though,
you're more you like more.
And I love the female voice better than male voices. I don't know why.
There you go.
It just rings out with me. So awesome. So we're gonna do a band that's kind of, I guess, not really well liked, but loved by some other thing. We're gonna do U2.
Yeah, I
Bono.
know.
You
You
know,
two
he's
is
everywhere, and
two is
he's,
polarizing. You two
yeah,
is so
he's making
polarizing.
everybody mad. So yeah, so U2.
And the funny thing is, I absolutely love them. I know why people find them annoying. I know that whole thing where they dropped the album, everyone's iPhones really pissed everyone off,
That's exactly, yeah.
which is funny because when that happened to me and I found that I had a free U2 album on my iTunes, I was like, sweet, this is
I'm
awesome.
like,
I love
great.
U2.
I love you, right? Yeah, I love free, so I don't care who it is, you know?
Yeah, but I get people thought that it was presumptuous, and I know, but I mean, Bono is difficult. Bono's heart is in the right place. Bono cares about all the right things, but I've seen them live and he talks too much, and I know that people just want to hear his thing. But I genuinely love
He
them, and
talks
if
too
I
much.
had to pick a U2 song to cover, I would want to do Pride in the Name of Love. That would be my choice. Ooh, nope, I'm gonna walk that back. I would want to do Bad from the Unforgettable Fire. That's the one I do.
Do you remember the okay, so help me out here, because you're a bigger YouTube fan than I am. I remember watching a video of him sitting in a like a horse chariot, and he's with his girlfriend, and he's and it's on him, and he's singing the song, but he's in the chariot, and all of this like good notes come up with behind him. I don't know what that's called.
Yeah, The Sweetest Thing.
I think you
That's a
would do a
beautiful song.
perfect, I gotta listen to it after here, because I just love that song. That's one song that I like from him, you know. But
Yeah, it's like it's
okay.
one of their most like it's one of a it's one of their more vulnerable songs. I'll tell you just the funny thing about U2 is they're a stealth Christian rock band, which I didn't realize for a long time, and
I didn't know that
like.
until right
A lot of
now.
their songs have like serious biblical references, and I wasn't raised I wasn't raised in any religion. My mother was an atheist, and she was like, Santa Claus is cool, but no religion otherwise. So I didn't pick up on these biblical references until later on, where I had friends who like went to Sunday school, and they were like, that's that line and With or Without You, that's a Bible reference, and I was like, what? Okay. And The Sweetest Thing is just a straight up love song. It's not, there's no Bible stuff in there. It's just a love song to his wife, and it's so sweet. It's a really, really beautiful song.
Awesome. Yeah. I fell in love with that song when I first heard it on, I think it's VH1, back when music TV
Oh,
was
of course.
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, back
Can't
when they
forget.
did music videos and they actually put them on TV.
I think me and you should go in together and buy MTV and bring it back.
I would love that. I miss MTV. I miss like actual MTV, like when MTV was MTV and not like the heck it is now.
My plan is to get really, really big and buy MTV and bring it back to Justice, you know. So I think it'll kick ass, you know.
I think so too.
So I'm gonna leave one person out, but that's it then, because I got something for you and her. So we're
Okay.
gonna do Fiona Apple. I can't talk today first.
Okay. Fiona Apple, I'm going to go very probably straightforward and say Criminal. And that's just, it's just, I mean, it's just such a, I love the lyrics. And that's also, she was somebody who, I remember when I would hear that song on the radio growing up, and I was still kind of, I liked singing, but I didn't really have a sense of my voice that well. And I have a bit of a lower singing voice for a woman. And that was, and so does she. She's got kind of a beautiful voice, but a very kind of, you know, she's like an alto, a low alto. And I remember hearing the song and just like, you know, how just like the gravitas of like the way she performs it. And then also like when I was singing along, I was like, oh, this isn't a really comfortable spot for my voice. I feel like I can sing this. This is comfortable for me to sing. I'm not like straining to hit a big high note or anything. Like this feels like it could have been written for me. I just kind of, I just like her vibe in general. She's very take no prisoners. She's very, you know, she's very herself, and I like that about her. But yeah, so I would say Criminal
Criminal.
for
That's
female.
a great song. Great song.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to step it up with Peter Gabriel.
Peter Gabriel, Sledgehammer, hands down.
I love he put out that's
Yeah.
yes, Pete
Number one,
Sledgehammer.
amazing music video. Amazing
Oh
music video.
yeah.
And then just it is such a fun song, and I have been campaigning with my band to get us to learn how to cover it. And like we're up, my band is like, we've got a bass player, two guitar players, and a drummer, and they're like, Rhea, you need horns, you need all sorts of stuff to do Sledgehammer. And I was like, we can find a
No.
way, we can find a way. It doesn't have to be a straight cover of Sledgehammer with horns and all that stuff and synths and, you know.
I'll tell you what, we'll make a deal right now. I could find a because I'm a quote unquote music producer too on the back and back end. So I could find a band to work with, and then we'll have your voice sing Sledgehammer. Now
That would be
we could
poison to
because
hear.
we don't need horns. We don't need none of that. You know, I mean, because covers are supposed to be creative to the individual artist creating it, you know?
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I mean, like if I'm gonna just do a straight cover, like no one wants to hear it. No, go listen to Peter Gabriel if you want to hear the original version.
Those are boring. You know, we want some essence in there, you know? So, okay. All right. So, next is Eminem. Which one song?
So this is tricky because he's so all over the place, and he's also somebody who I think, you know, when I say he's somebody who's a touchstone for me, people might be surprised to hear it because it's very much, you know, like kind of a little bit out of left field when you're looking at, you know, like I've got some classic rock, I've got some 90s stuff in there. But Eminem is somebody who, like, he was when I was in high school, he was all over the radio. The Marshall Mathers LP, I think, was one of the most records ever made. You know, but if I I'll give you I'm cheating again. I'll give you two answers. Number one, I would love to cover Lose Yourself just because I think Lose Yourself is a great song. It's just such a great, you know, it tells a great story. And what I love about Lose Yourself too is that it's, you know, like for the first half or three quarters of the song, he's singing from the point of view of his character from the movie. And then it flips at some point and it becomes almost like it's Eminem singing about his own life, and he's saying, this is my life. There's no Mekhi Phifer. There's no movie. This is actually what my life is. And I just think it's so cool that like narrative flip. That's what I love about him, is that he's just so creative with his storytelling and his lyrics. So I would love to cover that just because I love that song. But I also know all of the lyrics to The Real Slim Shady just because it was on the radio all the time. So I could probably, I'm not gonna inflict that on people right now because I think people want to hear me rap, but if you get me in a karaoke bar and you tell me, you know, cover an Eminem song, I could do that without the lyrics in front of me. I know all of
You know all of right, yeah. Yeah, because that was back in 95. No, wait,
I
really?
would. That's a question. Maybe a little bit later,
I gotta look it
middle.
up, yeah.
Yeah, that might have been on the Marshall Mathers LP, actually. It's been a while since I've listened to that one all the
No,
way.
that has to be 2000 something.
2000, yeah.
He's got a
That
lot
makes
of,
sense. I would say, yeah.
because
I was
I
in high school.
could,
That makes sense. Yeah.
because I was out of high school and going to live here in South Carolina. So So the first thing that I left behind was Alanis Morissette. But before we get into that, I want to ask you something. Have you been compared? Have people say, okay, so what's the most number one
musician that you've been compared to? Like, do you sound like this and that?
Oh, so this is, I have some interesting answers because it depends on who you ask.
Okay.
My friend Luke Folger, who he's like my creative partner, he co-wrote my new album with me. When he was mixing the songs, his mother, he was working, he was visiting his mom, and he has like a mixing rig that he brings with him.
Yeah.
And his mom came into the room and was like, "Hey, she kind of sounds like Chrissie Hynde." And I was like, "I don't know, but I'll take it. I like
Sure.
her,
That's a good
I'll take
idea.
it."
Yeah. Great
And
artist.
then I've gotten Natalie Merchant at times, I think similarly with Fiona Apple, just like a low singing voice, just like a lower singing voice for a woman. And then here's one that I find simultaneously flattering and annoying. And that is my dad, not my dad, but my dad's friends all tell him that they think I sound like Joan Baez. I don't. I know for a fact that I don't sound like Joan Baez. I don't. I think that I think that his friends mean well. They're of a certain generation. They're just, they're thinking about female songwriters that are singer-songwriters that they admire, and they hear me, and they just kind of map Joan Baez. She sounds like Joan Baez. I don't sound like her. Very talented woman. Very, very talented woman. So it's flattering, but it's inaccurate.
Well, I
But
can't confirm or deny that because I don't listen to Joan Baez, I
yeah,
wasn't
I mean she's been, yeah, she's I mean she's very folky as well. She's a very, very, I mean, she's a folk musician, and that is also not my wheelhouse. I like a lot of music, but I don't, my music that I create is not folk music. So that's another reason too, where I'm just kind of like, where is Joan Baez coming from? Like, yeah, that's kind of
But I will tell everybody to go and download or buy now The Way Up by Mew Rhea. It came out in 2022, correct? So the reason why I brought up that album is because on the song The Way Up, I think you sound the most like Alanis Morissette.
Oh, hey,
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I
That's
know, right?
awesome.
That's better
I
than Joan
love
Baez,
that.
right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's so cool.
Because there's something near the end of that song that that disconnects your voice to her voice, you know? So with that said, Alanis Morissette is the next person in the cover,
Oh,
aspect.
what would I like to cover of hers? So there's a song, it's a more recent song of hers, Hands Clean from Under Rug Swept. I think that's a great song.
That's a
I
good
didn't, I
one.
could say, oh, you ought to know, but I feel like
No,
everybody
baby,
knows. Yeah. But I think Hands Clean is just, it's just a great story. I think that she tells really good stories
Right,
in her song.
yes, she does.
And it's a, and it's kind of a, is a story that I relate to, not necessarily because I had the experience she had in the song, but just from her coming at that song is written like from the point of view of like somebody older looking back at like a younger version of themselves and remembering some kind of complicated, kind of maybe even traumatic experiences, and sort of figuring out how to recontextualize them as an older person. That's very much my jam. That's kind of like where
Right, yeah, that's where you stay at,
So it's about that sort of memory and nostalgia and kind of, reflecting and being older, not being old, but being
No,
older,
older, right, yeah. I'm old. I'm 45, and I still can't believe half the age, right? Yeah, so that's pretty weird, isn't it?
I just turned 40, and I'm just kind of like,
Oh,
all right.
trust me, you don't look 40. Honestly, God, you look like 20 something for
Oh,
real.
hey, I'll take
Yeah,
that too.
take
Thank you. I'll take
that
that
too,
too.
right?
Can we record that? And I'll keep that
I'll
in my
put it in
back
like a
pocket
little
when I'm having
clip, right?
that, when I'm having a bad hair day, or I wake up and I haven't slept well. I'll be like, but
But
I might
James
not look
says this. I'm like,
today.
yes. Right. No, but I would love to hear your rendition of ironic, you know.
Oh
So maybe
yeah, that's
I can
a
set that up or something. I'm not sure, but
that'd be cool.
yeah, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. So
Yeah, I'd love that. I would
yeah,
love that. That's a good song
that
too.
song so brings back so much memories, you know, with me,
The
my
same
sister, and
here.
it. Yeah,
Classic.
it
It
is.
was
It
again
is.
one of these all over the radio. So much of the songs that the songs that I write now, again with my Luke, like he's like my producer and my creative partner. We're the same age, and so we grew up listening to the same songs on the radio. So it's that kind of, that era, that like the Alanis and Fiona, and then also, like Green Day
Yeah.
and
Yeah,
Gin
Green.
Blossoms, Matchbox
Yeah.
20, Third Eye Blind, like all that stuff, that fun stuff that was on Top 40 when we were like coming
Yeah.
up. Because we're like a little, we're just like a hair too young to be like the Nirvana generation. Like maybe if we'd been born like 2 or 3 years earlier, we would have been like
Yeah.
Nirvana. But we're just a little too young. Foo Fighters is on our list. We love Foo Fighters. So.
Foo Fight. Well, for me, okay, so my favorite greatest band of all time is always going to be Nirvana, you know.
I mean,
And
I love
then,
Nirvana.
oh,
It's just I never they
yeah.
were just I was too young to appreciate them when they were
Right,
out doing
yeah,
their
yeah,
thing.
yeah. Yeah, because you had you had like Soundgarden, STP, so Temple Pilots, and then you had Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam was a big one for me. Yeah, so that's awesome. That's awesome. So.
Eddie Vedder has a great voice. I feel
He
like Eddie
does.
Vedder is
Yeah.
underrated. He's
Yeah.
I don't know if he's really underrated. I don't know. I love the tone of his voice. I love
Yeah.
listening to him sing. So,
Very dark and deep, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. But what I like about you, what I love about you is you write personally, you know. You write about your life and everything. So my next question is kind of strange. I don't know if you've heard this one yet. It's safe to say that some things are best sang or sing or sung, yeah, sung, than being said. Okay, so what truths in your lyrics did you find easier to sing rather than just talk it out, you know, say it?
Oh, that is a great question, actually. Well, you mentioned the song The Way Up,
Yes.
and that song is entirely about my experience recovering from a pretty significant mental health crisis I had in 2019, right before the pandemic. And I had to do I did like an inpatient intensive outpatient therapy program just to kind of recover from that. I was very depressed. I was suicidal. I'm fine now. I just want to put that out there. I'm fine. I'm safe. I'm doing well. I'm in a good place now.
Awesome. Hell yeah, dude.
Don't worry
Yeah.
about it. But I was going through a really dark period,
Yeah.
and I needed help, and I had to quit my job in order to pursue, not to pursue, in order to do that program. But I needed to do that program because I was in a really, really bad way. And so that song in particular is about my experiences being in that program, from like the instant where like I did spend a night in the psych ward of a hospital because I had said that I was, suicidal, and I kind of was saying that I had a plan, and
Yeah.
my boyfriend panicked because that he was like, okay, that I don't know what to do, and that scared me. So it's kind of from the point of view of me in that experience, being in the hospital and just kind of realizing, okay, this is my life, so to speak. Like, okay, this is now I. Now this is what I'm going to have to address. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
I have to face it. I have to face this stuff. And the lyrics are, like, how will I heal, slow mend in real time? How will I feel when forced to kill time? It's a lot of sitting with yourself. Therapy is good, and there was some group therapy, there was some individual therapy, but a lot of healing. And healing is not linear, and healing is not over. I would not say that I'm cured. I told you I'm doing good now. I'm in a good
Right.
place,
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
It's a linear process, and I'm always gonna be, I'm always gonna be a little melancholic. I'm always gonna, I'll have bad days, and I'll, but the thing is, I know how to I know how to emotionally regulate now so that I don't go down the wormhole of like, can't get out of bed, can't function, don't want to be here anymore. But a lot of healing is sitting with yourself and thinking about that. And so that song is almost like an inner monologue of what I was thinking as I was going through that program and like how I was gonna, and it's called The Way Up. It's literally about like, how do I get up from
Right.
being
Yeah.
down? And that is a song that I think, I mean, I just kind of told you, but I think that singing that, I can sing that and the story comes through so much better than me just kind of rambling all that at you right now. So that's one song for sure that is more easily or more it just comes out better when I sing it.
Right.
There's another song on the way up called Deep Water, which is about like a toxic codependent relationship. That's one of my favorite songs to sing just because it's a lot of fun, mostly because the person I wrote it about is a terrible human being. And every time I sing it, I'm kind of like, oh, screw you. But it's also just like that's also though, like it's just it was written about like a bad relationship with a bad person. And it's more fun to sing about it because it's almost like I have distance where I can kind of almost make fun of the situation and from with distance and kind of look at it and be like, okay, but I was a little complicit in that relationship being bad because I had codependent tendencies and I should have walked away way earlier than I did. Again, so I would say that's another song that comes through better. It's a story that comes through better in song because I can kind of be playful with it. And then there's some songs on my new record that's coming out in August that are about my childhood. And my man, I'm going to be depressing. Your entire audience is going to be like, man, she's a downer.
No, you're good. You're good.
My mother passed away from cancer when I was 12 years old. And so the first three songs on the record are kind of about my childhood, like dealing with those experiences of kind of watching her be sick and, be in remission and get sick again. And there's one song in particular. It's called Snow, which is about, it's like sung from the point of view of me when I was 6 years old. And she was sick. She was in the hospital almost for the whole summer. It was summer of 92. And the only reason why I remember the year is because it was the Barcelona Summer Olympics. I'm watching that in her hospital room. And I had no idea. Nobody told me she had cancer, so I didn't know what was going on. They didn't want my look. My parents meant well, and my dad meant well. He thought that it would scare me by saying cancer, but by not giving me the information, it scared me more
Escape,
because I was like,
right, yeah, because you're like, what's
"Please
going on
don't."
here? Yeah.
So the chorus of that song is literally like it's me asking my dad, like, "Tell me the truth. Tell me what's going on. You don't want to scare me. You're putting on a show. Tell me what's going on." And that is a song that I think if I were to sit down and like tell you the entire story of that summer of my mom in the hospital, I might cry. But if I sing the song, it'll tell you the story and I'll be able to actually get through the story and you'll understand it because I won't be like all,
Right, yeah, sobbing,
torn up with tears. Yeah, exactly.
and I can't hand you that tissue because I'm probably like
Yeah, exactly.
three
You can't
down
get a
all the way,
tissue through the screen. Yeah.
but going off of what you just told us, which I thank you for that, and I'm so glad you're doing better, because everybody doesn't have to go through suicidal thoughts, that's what this podcast is about, But okay, so back then, did you have any, I don't want to say hatred, did you have any anger for your dad not telling you this?
Absolutely.
And okay, so when you wrote this song, still, right? When you wrote the song, did it just re release everything out to the like earth, and you just, oh my God, this is
Very
such a
cathartic.
relaxing.
Very, very cathartic. It was like giving a voice to that 6-year-old version of myself who was even too afraid to ask the question, what's going on? I was just kind of for the ride. And there's a lot There's a lot about my my healing process
Yeah.
from like the kind of nervous breakdown I had that put me in that bad way.
Yeah.
That has to do with the fact that I had a lot of unprocessed grief, just from not just from her passing, but from watching her be sick. From
Yeah.
I was 4 years old when she was diagnosed with cancer. I was 12 when she passed away. And again, I love my dad, and he meant well.
Oh, yeah.
He had a lot on his plate because he was taking care of my mom, and he did an amazing job taking care of her. What he did for her is nothing short of heroic. I admire and respect him so much for that, but he didn't do a great job of taking care of me through that, by which I mean he just kind of let me, I was like along for the ride. He wasn't like, maybe we should put her in some counseling, some support,
Something, yeah.
something like that while my mom
Yeah.
was sick, after she passed away. Didn't get any grief counseling, didn't do any therapy. He was very just kind of like, you know what? Let's get on with our lives because your mom wouldn't want us to sit and dwell and be sad. He's right. She was like that. She
But
wouldn't have.
yeah.
She would not have wanted us to make her an excuse to just sit around and mope and not do anything. So, he was right about that, but I never really had an avenue to process those feelings. And then, going through that intensive therapy program, I started to finally have like the language to realize that like so much of what was like bubbling up from me was just that I never processed that grief. And
Yeah.
she died when I was 12, and I had this like nervous breakdown when I was 33.
Oh, okay.
So it's like,
Yeah.
we're talking like, 20 years of like almost like stuffing the feelings down.
All right.
And so yeah, it's very, writing a song like Snow and like finally giving that childhood me a voice to kind of say, tell me what is going on. I'm
Yeah.
scared. Tell me what is going on. Very cathartic. And like, you asked if I'm angry at my dad.
Yeah.
Let me put it this way. He and I have talked about it in
Oh,
the years since.
yeah. Yeah,
We're in a good,
I
I would not
got
say
yeah.
right at this moment I'm angry at him. I would say though that for many years I was angry at him. And then he and I have sat together and processed it. And he also had unprocessed grief too. He didn't really take care of himself either in the psychologically, mentally, emotionally, in dealing with that. He was kind of running on fumes. He was
Yeah.
taking care of her. It was just one medical crisis after another. So he and I have talked it out. We're in a good place now, but for many,
Good.
many years, I was very angry at him
Yeah.
because I felt like he could have done more and should have done more. I have a very good friend of mine who I played music with. I used to do, play bar bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And buddy of mine who's a harmonica player, and he's older. He's almost my dad's age. He's a killer harmonica player, Dan Anderson. I don't know if he's listening. If he is, Dan, you're awesome. His daughter is a year younger than me, and her mother passed away from cancer at around the same age. And I remember having a conversation with him once because we were kind of, we were in a band together and we were talking. We were kind of like, hey, we sort of have these interesting parallel life experiences, and he was telling me about all the, all the support he gave his daughter, and they did grief counseling. They did grief counseling together as a father and daughter, and then they did it separately. He did his own therapy, she did her own therapy. And he's talking to me about this, and I was like, I didn't get any of that. And I was so jealous of his daughter, for having had those resources and having been given the tools to deal with that. And I was so like, there was a part of me that was like, am I broken? Like, am I broken forever because I didn't have that? And now I'm like, in my 30s, and like, is it too late? Like, is it, am I just okay? And I'm broken. It's never going to be fixed. That's not true. I don't think I'm irrevocably, there's a word that's hard to
Yeah,
say, broken.
that is
Uh,
hard.
you know, I don't, I did, there was a time when I did, when I was in a bad way, I did feel that way. I was like, okay, I'm broken forever. There's no point. I don't feel that way now. But when you're kind of presented with a life story from like from my friend Dan, who had a similar life experience, but processed it differently and processed it in a way that was more healthy for him and for his daughter. And just sort of seeing that I didn't have that, I was just so envious and so angry. And that's the thing is, like, creating music, sometimes it's almost like a primal scream. You know what I mean? Like, you can get in front of a microphone and you can just kind of shout it out, and you can put music behind it and make it something. And then, and then the hope is always somebody else listens to it and goes, "Hey, I can I that makes me feel better about something that's going on in my life too." That's what I sometimes tell people is, when I write songs, I try to write the songs that I needed to hear when I was struggling. That's I don't know if that's always the case, but that's frequently the
But
case, is he.
So I just thought of a question, and I'm not protecting your father at all, because obviously I don't know him, but a lot of 6-year-old children doesn't know what cancer is. So do you think that he had a very, very hard time finding the words? Because I mean,
Think that was it.
what
I do think that was it. I mean, I think I yeah, we and again, like I said, we've talked about it since then. And the thing is, he did eventually tell me. There was a time she got, and she went into remission, and she was fine. She was home. She was doing well. And I remember one day he and I just went on a walk, and he told me, "This is what's going on." And, like, I knew kind of big picture, like, cancer is bad because if you're exposed to any media, any commercials, anything, you
Something,
hear, cancer. Cancer is bad. It's not good news. There's no, it's not, I do think that he thought that the word was scary, and I do think that he thought that he was protecting me, and I do think he meant well. So when I say I'm angry at him, I'm not angry at him because, and now I
Well, you
hate him.
get, yeah,
It's like
yeah,
he did what he thought was best at the moment. It wasn't the best move, but
yeah.
he did his best in that moment. And again, and like I said, he and I have talked about it, and he was like, now having talked about through it with you, if we could go back in time and do it again, I would have been more honest with you about it. Even if, even if you don't necessarily know, like, the extent of, like, what kind of cancer she had or whatever, like, but
Yeah,
just
yeah,
bringing
that's very hard to, yeah.
exactly, but just, like, giving me the information so that it's not just, like, random. Like, why are we in the hospital? Why is she in the hospital? Why are we watching the Olympics from a hospital room? Like,
Yeah.
what is going
What's
on?
going on? Right, what's going on here, dude?
Exactly.
Okay, so so how often do you bang on your drummer's drum set? Because I've heard that was very, very, I mean, just bang
Ooh,
on him,
I'm gonna tell you something even better. My drummer's drum set, he has his own drum set, but when we rehearse in our rehearsal space in Brooklyn, the drum kit he plays on is actually my drum kit. I bought it. Because I always wanted to learn how to play the drums. I primarily play bass. I'm more mostly a vocalist. Play bass. I don't play bass in my band because my songs, I've written them too complicated. I can't sing my songs and play bass at the same time. So I've got a good buddy, Daria Grace. She's an amazing bass player. So I basically was like, "You got to do this for me. I can't do." It's like, what is it? Patting your head, rubbing your belly at the same time is too
I can't do
hard.
that. Yeah, it's hard.
But I always wanted to learn, as a bass player, I've always wanted to learn how to play the drums because of that whole rhythm section thing. I was like, I just think feel like it would be fun. And then also, just like you said, it's fun to just bang on the drums sometimes. And I always wanted to get a drum kit. And my buddy James, who he owns the recording studio where we recorded my most recent, the one that's coming out on my album at, and he's also, we use his studio as our rehearsal space. He knew that I wanted to buy drums, and he's an expert at sourcing things on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist. And he found this beautiful set of drums, barely used. It's like a Ludwig. It's a Ringo drum kit. Like,
Wow,
it
it's
is like, so, I mean, it's not obviously it's not
well,
Ringo
it's
drum,
I
but, like, it's that style, it's that type of drum kit, barely used. This guy was selling it. He said it was his dad's. And then he inherited it when his dad passed. He doesn't know how to play the drums. It's just been sitting in his house forever. And his wife finally was like, "You got to get rid of the drums. They're taking up too much space. You
They're
don't play the
noisy, right?
drums. Our kids don't play. Get them out of the house." And so he put them on Craigslist. He's like, "I just need them gone." $1,200. That's a bargain for a drum kit like that. That's a guy who didn't know what he had.
No, no,
And he's just
no,
like, he's just
no.
like, he's just like, my wife is gonna get mad if I don't get this out of the house. So like, please take it. So James found this guy. He was like, let's jump on this right now. He doesn't know what he has. Let's just
Right,
go
yeah,
buy
please
it.
take it.
And so, and he lives somewhere, did he live in Staten Island or I don't know, he lived in like far place. He it was a bit of a hike to get to him. But we got the drum kit, and then the intention always was for me to bring it home and put it in my basement. And then there wasn't enough room in my basement. And then also I was like, my basement's kind of damp, and I don't want to ruin this beautiful kit by keeping it in a damp room. So now it lives in James's studio. So when we rehearse, my drummer, who's also Luke, the guy who co-wrote my record, he's a drummer. He plays my drum kit. So it's kind of fun for me to be in the rehearsal room and be like, that's my drum kit. But I do when I am down there and nobody's around and I just kind of want to bang on the drums, I do it often. I don't, someday I would like to learn how to play
How
something more
to play?
complicated
Right,
than because
yeah.
I can do four on the floor and that's
No.
about it. Which is
Well,
fun, but
I don't know if this is true or not, but this, if you could play the Michael Jackson beat, you could play like 40 different songs with that same beat.
yes,
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah.
that's a
Yeah.
very it's
That's
Bob Standard, very good.
yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's the thing is like, and that's kind of what I know. So it's like
Right,
you
well,
can pick that
yeah.
90% of what of songs out there,
There's a
I
Michael
could pull
Jackson beat
through.
it beat. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. You could, yeah, I could probably fake my way through, but
Right,
anything
yeah.
more complicated, like Rain from the Beatles song Rain,
Okay.
that drum that Ringo plays, way too hard.
Right.
Not something
Yeah.
I could do. That's just complicated drumming. Anything more like Phil Collins' drumming, no way, can't do anything like that. Totally different. Like he's in the stratospheres ahead of me.
Yeah.
But I it's fun. I mean, like having a drum to bang on is fun. Again, it's like that thing like I was saying about like singing can be almost like cathartic and primal scream. Just like sitting behind a drum kit and whacking it. It's just like it's
Right,
nice just to
yeah.
be able to get out, whatever it is you're feeling. It might be not even just anger, maybe just like I'm feeling stressed out, I'm feeling kind of anxious. How do I work through my
Something.
anxiety? Let me just whack on the cymbals for a
Yeah,
while and then like, oh, okay. A little relief,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, well, really that's why I brought the drums, going back to your dad, maybe if he had drum kit back then, because I hear if you bang on drum real hard, you get all your frustration out, and I think that's
Yeah.
one of the very, very few instruments that does that, because you can't, play on a guitar, if you're angry. But I just can, but it won't do the same. I mean, it's just because hard, just like you said, just banging the hell on the drum,
Yeah, yeah. I actually I took piano lessons as a kid, so in theory I could probably have gone and banged on the piano. But I did not enjoy taking piano lessons, so I was kind of like, nah, I don't really want to.
I think we had a lesson for about a month, and I'm like, nope, I can't do this.
Yep, yep, yep. That was, and it's funny. I took piano lessons from when I was 6 years old to when I was 12, and I really, really, really hate it because I always wanted to be a bass player, and I was like, I want to take bass lessons. I want to be, and my mother, bless her, lovely woman, big Beatles fan, so there's a part of me that was like, she loved the Beatles. She like the reason why I know the Beatles is because of her. She had all the Beatles records on vinyl, and so and Paul McCartney was her favorite Beatle, and I was like, come on, Paul, the bass player in the Beatles, like I want to take bass lessons. Where's the disconnect here? And she just was like, she wanted me to take piano lessons because she, like, her fantasy was that I would someday be a concert pianist playing Carnegie Hall. And I was just kind of like, that's not really my personality at all. But I kind of stuck it out. I was not good at piano lessons. Every piano teacher I had probably was very frustrated with me because I never practiced. And it was so it was too, but I will say I learned music theory through piano lessons, and that is valuable. And
Yeah.
so that has come in handy. I don't know how to read sheet music anymore.
Okay.
I did back then. I used to be able to sight read very well. I don't like I just because I'm out of practice. It's almost like a
Yeah.
language. You know, you if you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
And then also as a bass player, tabs, you know, I write my own tabs in my own, you know, charts. So I'm not necessarily looking at notes on a staff anymore. But basic music theory, time signatures and keys and stuff like that, you know, that's valuable. And I'm grateful that I got that. Just wish I'd gotten it from bass lessons instead of piano lessons. So.
My claim to fame is I played the Mickey Mouse theme on piano at a recital, and I'm like, I'm done up. It piano and me just didn't mix, you know. It's basically like, you know, because I wanted to play guitar right here, you know. And I still don't know how to play, you know. I have five guitars. What's wrong with me? But I don't play them, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
I'm looking at your guitars right now. You got some beautiful guitars, by the way. Is it that you don't play them just because you don't have time to play them, or is it that like what's stopping you? I'm curious.
So I tried playing when I was 16. You know, I've heard Black Sabbath when I was 16. I'm like, I gotta play Iron Man, you know, because
Oh yeah.
that's the main tune, you know, for every heavy metal lover out there, you know. But my mom took me to guitar lessons one time, and the guy was he's taught a blind dude how to play, you know. So my mom thinks it's gonna be easy to teach me, you know, patient, kind, whatever. He was the exact opposite, you know. He said, if you're gonna play with me, you're gonna do this and do that. I'm like, I can't, you know. And he yelled at me, so that was the main drawback, you know.
My first
So.
piano teacher was the same way. She was so mean. She would yell
Yeah.
if I wrong. And I mean, like, I was like, I don't want any part of this.
No,
I don't,
right.
this is just like if you're scared to go to your music lesson because someone's gonna yell at you, that's not gonna make you feel like, oh yeah, I want to practice and do well now.
Right.
You
Well,
know.
now I can teach myself how now because YouTube has like hundreds
Oh
of
yeah.
lessons online and tablature, just like you said. So yeah, so I can easily teach myself now. But it's just
Yeah.
that. But it's just like getting over that, I guess, I don't want to say fear, but I don't know, you know, it's kind of
No,
weird.
I know. I definitely know what you mean. I mean, you know, and I can relate a little bit as well because, like, you know, I said I'm a bass player, and I actually horrible confession, but since we're doing this. I haven't played my bass in months, and part of it is because I've been working on this record where I have to focus on the singing, and I'm not really playing bass on it. But you know, it's like I used to like you know if I was bored, I would noodle. You know, I'd sit down and try to you know I'd be like, oh, I really you know like you said, go on YouTube and like learn how to play a cool you know like I remember
Something.
once I sat down, I was like, I want to learn how to play the bass line from Taxman because that's a really really cool. And you can find tons of videos out there of people who like will show you how to play it. You know, I used to do stuff like that. And then, you know, just like I think just part of it is just you're working on creating new music and I'm not playing the bass on these songs. I'm focusing on the songwriting. So it kind of fell by the wayside. And then also just like sometimes life gets in the way. I do have a day job and some days, you know, a day job, I'm an accountant, you know, which is kind of a funny juxtaposition with my life, you know. And so some days I'm just like, I mean, I work from home, but like I'm sitting in front of screens looking at a spreadsheet all day long, and you wouldn't think that that's tiring,
No,
but you
look,
know, it
dealing with
is.
numbers. I mean, come on out.
And so exactly. So by the end of the day, I'm just kind of like, oh man, I could try to unwind by playing something, or I could just go and sit on the couch and watch junk TV and just try to clear my head that way. No, so I know what you mean. It's like sometimes it's like you've got the desire, but there's some sort of mental
But
block, and
something
it's just
told right.
sometimes it's just life. Sometimes just like life is happening and it's holding you back, and it's you know, eventually you'll come around to it.
Eventually,
It'll
yeah. And
yeah.
I can be the number one guitar player ever or something. I don't know what I'm saying. Maybe.
No.
Oh
So you don't
yeah, who
know until you
knows?
try, right?
Exactly. So we do have four more quick questions for you, and I love you. So I do thank you for coming on.
Yeah,
But
this is fun.
But thank you so much. That means a lot to me, you know, because I've always tried
I
to.
mean, I love that you asked me the cover questions. Nobody has ever done that for me before. That was
Nobody.
fantastic.
Oh,
Nobody
great.
has ever given me those questions. People have said, oh, what, if you had a song, maybe what would you want to cover? But no one has gone through my list of inspirations and
Right,
said,
yeah.
okay, Tom, that's super cool. So I want to thank you for
Nice.
that. That was so much fun. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, it's like, I love you talking to me like that. Yeah, that's awesome. But I have two more questions that I think you've never been asked. So you want to
Okay.
give it? Okay, cool. All
Yeah,
right. So,
let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
all right. So you live in multiple cities, correct? And okay, so you're like me because my dad was a military colonel. He's retired. We lived
Oh,
in the
so you're
Philippines.
like live the military, the moving around all over the
Yes,
place,
I'm a
army
military
life.
brat.
Military
Yeah.
brat, that's the word. Yep, military
Yes, that's one of
brat.
it. Yeah, that's what me and my sister are, you know. And we loved it, you know. But my question to you is, since you lived in multiple cities, right? Is there one city that takes your heart away? Like you've developed the most memorable songs that you've written in that one city?
Oh, that's a good question.
As opposed to
I
others, you
think,
know.
so I didn't wait in my childhood. Like, I was born in Washington, D.C., lived there till I was six, moved to Chicago, lived there till I was nine, moved to San Francisco, lived there until I went to college, was not writing songs at any point in my young years. And then, but if you want to talk about a city where I wouldn't say that this is a city where I wrote the most of my original material in, though I did write quite a bit of original material when I lived in this city. There's a town in what is it's a small city in the Hudson Valley in New York called Beacon. And I lived there for 5 years. And that is where I met like three-fifths of my band are people that I met living in that city. There's a huge music community in that city, and just an artist community, musicians, writers, visual artists, photographers, sculptors. It's a very, very creative place. And that is where I started actually playing music with other people. Like in bands, in like a band situation, and like finding community that way. And I would not have become an original songwriter if I had not lived in Beacon and been around all of these musicians who were songwriters who were encouraging. They were all because I was doing cover bands. I was doing the bar band thing. You go to a bar and you play a bunch of Stones covers because that's people are having drinks at the bar
That's
and they.
it, right?
Because they
They're
just
not
want to hear
really,
the songs they know, right?
right? Yeah, yeah,
And it was it, and that was fun. I love playing Stones songs
yeah,
and still
yeah.
I love the Stones. Yeah. But I always was like, I was always saying I want to write original music, but I don't know how. And a really good friend of mine, his name is Jonathan Frith, he's a songwriter. I remember telling him that one night, and he was like, you just got to do it. It's one of those things where like, he's like that you're putting up the trap in your own head. You're putting up the barrier in your own head. You say you want to do it. Do it. He's like, I know you're a writer in your other life. You do creative writing and stuff like that. He's like, this is just, it's not really that different. It's taking your ideas and your feelings and your emotions and you're right. It's just it's a different type of writing. And I was still kind of like, oh, I don't know, imposter syndrome. I don't know if anyone wants to hear. I got lucky because I became friends with Luke Folger, who he co-wrote The Way Up and he co-wrote my new record, This Place. And he was super encouraging because I we kind of mutual friends introduced us, and I was like, I want to write original music. I don't know how. And he was like, I would love to help you. And that's kind of how it started. And again, I would not have met Luke had I not lived in Beacon because we connected because we have mutual friends who I was friends with in Beacon. He lives in New York City. So, it's almost like I would say that my creative songwriting life, this version of myself that is now a singer-songwriter who puts out original music, that wouldn't exist had I not lived in Beacon, New York at that time. So that's how I would answer that question.
Because I think that every city has its own aura, you know. And
Oh,
I
yeah,
think
absolutely.
that every city tells a different story to everybody, you know. And New York is a
Absolutely.
very, very famous city, you know. And I,
Yeah.
yeah, so
Yeah, absolutely.
awesome.
You know, it's funny that you're saying that because it's like a huge theme in the album that I have coming out in August is like I write every single song is about a place that I have lived in, but it's not like, oh, here's my song about San Francisco. Like there's a
Right,
Golden Gate
yeah.
Bridge and it's California, you know, like every song is about like a core emotion or a story that I want to tell from that time period,
Yeah.
and it's connected to where I lived at the time. And so it's
Right.
nine songs about nine locations where I've lived. So I told you about that song Snow
Yes,
earlier. That's
yes.
a, so that was when we were living in Chicago at the time. And when I remember that time, I remember I
Yeah.
was sick and I remember snow because Chicago
Yeah,
is so.
yeah.
And so, you know, and like I lived in New York for 20 odd years. I'm in New Jersey now, but
Yeah.
like the cold of Chicago is just, and it's the
Doesn't like it,
wind.
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's,
Yeah.
yeah,
But it's
try
like
it.
I remember just the cold and the snow, and then I remember just like that kind of just that painful experience. And so it was just kind of like putting together those memories. Like that's kind of how Luke and I built this record is like, you know, these places I live, but not necessarily like let's write a song about the city. It's like let's write a song about the core emotion that I remember from living in that city, or a story that I think is something that I want to talk about that happened to me when I lived in that city. So it's kind of like it's a little bit of a map, but it's not really like a literal like here's the Chicago song per se, you know, there's the Sears Tower, or you know what I mean? Like it's not
Right,
really like that kind of thing.
I mean, everybody sees the Sears Tower and you're like, okay, well, that's, you know, but cool.
Yeah,
Awesome,
so that's
awesome.
yeah, that's kind of that's it's so it's I mean it's just like it's funny that you asked me that question because I was like,
Yeah.
oh, that's very and because it's kind of what I've been thinking about while we're promoting this album, so
Nice. So
yeah.
it blends so well, you know. So,
Yeah.
okay, so the next lesson is gonna be fun too. Okay,
Okay.
you are in theater, right? A little
I
bit here and there.
when I was younger, I was a theater
Okay,
kid. Yeah,
okay.
I wanted to be when I was in high school, I wanted to be an actor and I wanted to be on Broadway. So
Okay.
I did theater and I learned how to like my vocal training was all for like I'm gonna be on Broadway someday.
You're like, yes,
And then you know, and then,
I think that's everybody's dream is to be on Broadway or some movie or something, you know.
yeah,
It was
exactly.
mine. It was mine when I was like 3 years old. I can be an actor, but now it's like I no, I can't act for nothing, you know. But okay, so that the theater aspect and the music aspect blend so well together. So this is my question for you, okay? If you could write one act play or film inspired by one of your songs, which one would you choose, and what would that story look like?
One act play about one of my songs. Okay.
You could
It
write a
would be
one act play. It'd just be
one
one
act
act.
play. One act. I would write about there's a song that is on the record that's coming out in August called Good Company. And it is about, it's funny, I was telling you about the town Beacon. It is about my time living there. And it's specifically about this one bar where we would all hang out. It was like the corner bar, like it was like eat like Cheers, like the bar where everybody, you know, like you go to everybody knows your name, you know, and your friends with all the bartenders and everything. And it was like a, you know, it was a like a hangout for all of the artists and musicians and songwriters in town. And you'd go in there and you'd run into somebody you know and you get into a really cool conversation. You'd geek out about a musician or you'd be talking about some book you know. And so I would write a one act play that is about one night in that bar and just the different conversations that I had with people in that bar. Because it was one of those things too, where like you go in there, you'd see different people you know, and you'd end up you're mingling and you're having a different conversation with them. So it would be like a one act play that was just kind of like one night in the bar's name. Sadly, the bar doesn't exist anymore. It's the owner had to sell the business under new management. It's very sad. Everybody who was a local there was heart is
Like,
still.
damn, all
It's like a
right.
deep grieving for that place. So,
Right.
but the one I play would be One Night in Dogwood, and it would just be about like just that vibe of like that creative energy, and then also just some wild things that would happen. Like there would, like sometimes we would get like across the street from this bar was like a really beautiful place, a wedding, like a wedding venue. And sometimes like after the wedding reception, like the after party, they would all come over into the bar. And so we'd all of a sudden, like we were hanging out at the bar having our chill time, and then all these like well-dressed like bridesmaids and groomsmen and like people who are coming over from their wedding reception, they're already drunk anyway, they're just wasted, and they just take over the whole place, and they want to take over the music, and it's just like, and then it becomes like a madhouse. And so it's like all of us locals and then like the wedding people, and like that was always the funny dynamic. And then also just there were just some interesting characters who passed through that bar. So I would write about that. I don't know what specifically the story would be, or if it would just be a bunch of like within the one act, like a bunch of little conversations that are just sort of like an adventure, but like One Night in Dogwood. That would be my one
That's a
act.
good title. One Night in
It is a good
Dogwood.
tag. Yeah, Night in Dogwood.
See, Seinfeld had no story, so I didn't know. So, here's to you. All right. So we do have two more questions, and these are going to be the two hardest questions for I ask
Okay.
tonight, okay? Ready?
Okay.
All
Okay.
right.
Yep.
Okay.
Fair. Okay.
We're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your favorite musicians. You have four of them. If we need to, we can do five. Well, what's
Okay.
your four right now? And I know that it's going to change when you hang up with me. You're like, I should have said this, but but right now, who are your favorite four
Right now,
ever?
who are my favorite ever?
Artists or bands or
Artists
whatever
or bands. So, I would say this is going to sound so funny, but I went down like a mid-90s power pop wormhole recently. Just it was like a deep nostalgia sort of thing. And I was like, Matchbox 20.
Love it.
So underrated. They're good. Rob Thomas is such a good songwriter. He's got such a great voice. And Yourself for Something Like You, their big debut album is like a really good album. I remember I had that album on CD when it came out, and I like wore out the CD. It was like skipping all over the place. I listened to it so much. So like right now I'm on like a big Matchbox 20 kick, which is funny to me. I'm 40 years old and I'm like, oh, I'm all about Matchbox 20 all over again. Like it's like I'm in fifth grade again. So that would be like number one.
That's so funny that you said it because I was listening to Metal for the other night.
No way.
Yeah, I
No
was.
way.
It's When You're Gone.
When
I
You're
don't
Gone.
know.
Yeah. Baby, It's Time to Come
When
Home.
you
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great song.
it
They're
is.
so
It's
good. I
yeah
don't know why
yeah
people like don't talk about them more, because I think they're great. Yeah,
yeah.
so right now they're like very much constantly on my, in my playlist rotation at the moment.
Yes.
Who else? Peter Gabriel is always there.
Okay, you're right.
Beautiful.
And send it me up.
There. So he's in permanent rotation. Let me think who else. This is gonna sound wild because it's very left field.
Okay.
But I actually really like Sabrina Carpenter, which is so not even, all these musicians I've been talking about all this time. And then she's just like, what? Like, what, really? I think she's really funny. I think her songwriting is really clever. And, we're talking about like MTV back when MTV did music videos or whatever. I think her music videos are hysterical. Like, they're really funny. They're like wacky and like just very fun to watch. And so I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say that I'm like a super fan, because I don't, like I'm not her demographic. She's not making music for somebody like me,
Oh, come on now. She makes music for
but
everybody. Come on.
yeah, maybe she is, maybe she is. I mean, but I just like her. I just like her vibe. I think she's got a good sense of humor. I think she her songs are catchy pop songs, but they're also interesting. Like they're interesting stories. I think she's also like a storyteller. It's just she's also just sort of like this very glamorous pop princess, and I am not a glamorous pop
Oh,
princess,
come
so it's kind
on.
of random. So who do I say? So I said Matchbox 20, Peter Gabriel, Sabrina Carpenter. One more. Who am I
One
really?
more.
Who am I really
One more.
vibing with right now?
Yeah.
Who am I vibing with right at this moment? I'm gonna say Eminem, and it's because of his most. It's the death of Slim Shady.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah.
It's really good. It's really, really good. I was very excited for that. When I heard the concept of it, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be epic. And then, yeah, it's really something. I feel like I've been telling everybody that I know, I'm like, even if you're not an Eminem fan, that's an album that is like, you should listen to it and you should listen to it all the way through. That's an album that's designed to be listened to like end to
Yeah.
end. Like, don't just like skip around. And
Right.
that's the way I write music too. Like, in an ideal world, I know, like, the way the music industry now is, it's very like singles oriented, you know, like
Yeah.
put out the single and get on the chart and then put out your other single.
Yeah.
And I write like my first album and this new album, like, I want people to sit down and listen to them end to end, like the way they used to do in the old days. You would get the, you know, like you'd get the new Beatles record and you'd sit down, you'd listen to it, the new Stones record, you sit down, listen to it end to end with your friends and just, you know, and like, because it's like, the way my songs are written, like I'm trying to tell a whole story with the album. Like there's an arc, there's a whole
Man.
point. And, you know, which isn't to say that if you listen to my songs in isolation, you won't like them. You
Right.
know, like I hope
Yeah.
that's the case, you know.
Right.
But like they're all part of one story. And I really hope that people would sit down and listen to it all the way through. And I feel that way about the death of Slim Shady. I think that that album, again, he's got, you know, the singles that came out that, you know, that charted and that works. But I think that, you know, because he's all about like concept albums
Yeah.
and that's like a really cool concept album. I just think he's very innovative. It's just, again, it's one of those things where I don't know if people who look at my music wouldn't necessarily think that like I'm an Eminem super fan. You know, but I just I but I just I think he's a good writer. Like I just
Yeah.
like genuinely he's a very good writer. He's a poet, you know. He's just not what the, you know, when you say the word poet, people don't think of someone who looks like him or someone who does the type of music that he does. But if you look at the words that he's writing, like that's poetry. He's a beautiful writer, you know. So that's kind of, those are my four right now. You ask me tomorrow, I'll give you four different
There you
ones.
go. We'll have you back tomorrow, you know? All right. So my last question is going to be the hardest question yet, okay? So this
Okay.
is easy for some, harder for most, okay? Is there one song, album, or artist that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your boyfriend, or anybody else how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
Oh,
You know, because
this is a
yeah.
hard.
Yeah, so it's like when you hear the song, something in you inside you just makes total sense, but you yourself cannot express that sense to me. You know? Yeah.
Give me a second.
No, yeah,
I
yeah.
definitely have one. I definitely have one, but I have to give this some thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I
I
know
don't
it's
want to
so
say you stumped me, but it's like
I
it's a
know it's so
tricky
hard.
one.
Yeah,
It's a
yeah,
tricky
yeah.
one. It's a tricky one. It's a very tricky one. I think everyone's going to think I'm a Peter Gabriel nut.
No, Peter Kimball's great. Come on
If
now.
you're, but it's, but it's, but I'm gonna get very, very specific.
Okay,
It is
perfect.
his it is In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, but not the studio version.
Okay.
It is the live version from his when he was touring. I guess it was the tour for So. And he did a performance in Athens and they filmed it. And it's like, you know, you can, if you look on YouTube, you can see clips of the show. And I think you can probably get, there's like, you can get a Blu-ray of like the entire Live in Athens show. And it's the arrangement of In Your Eyes in that show that I don't know. I don't know how to tell you.
That
I don't know how to
that's
tell
what I
you.
want. Yeah,
But it's like, but it's like that just and it, that arrangement, that performance, that lineup of musicians he had with him, the choices he made and how he performed, because he didn't perform it the way he does in the studio album. It was a bigger production. And he had other musicians involved. He had like, he had musicians from Senegal join him on stage, and they were, singing parts with him. And they were, there's like a, if you watch the video, like there's dancing. It's just like, but it's, oh yeah, that there. I'm demonstrating it right now. I cannot tell you what it is.
Well,
I
see,
can't tell you, but that's.
that's what I wanted. Yeah, I wanted
No.
something raw and emotional, and I figured if, because I wanted to throw you off and everything. So you did great. You did awesome. All right. So we're gonna give you some shout outs here. Okay. So you do have a new album coming out in August next
I do.
month called
Yep, next month.
This Place.
It's called This Place. Yep.
This
Yep.
okay. And can you tell us, or are you able to tell us when and where we can find it?
Yes, it is officially coming out on August 22nd, and that will be when it is available on all streaming platforms. I have released a few singles along the way from This Place. So there are three singles out right now. From This Place, there's a song called Misery of Place that's out, that's going to be on the record. There's a song called For the First Time, and there's a song called Runner. So if you go and look me up on any of the streaming, sir. Oh,
Okay, so that's one of the songs that I just heard on YouTube. That song's
yeah,
so
that's
great,
my most recent one.
and I love the way you did the video. You look like an old school 90s TV, right?
And we did, it was DIY. We filmed
Yep.
all of that in Grand Central in New York City without a permit. I don't know how we didn't get arrested, because it's like, you, that's such a no-no. But I was like, we're gonna do it. We're like guerrilla style, we're gonna do it. No, that's a fun one. That's a fun song. That's a fun song to play live. So yeah, those are the three singles that are out. I've got one more single coming out at the end of July called Upstate Rust. And then the full album will be out August 22nd. That'll be on all streaming services. Vinyl will be out as well. I don't have a
I
company.
love vinyl. I got a lot of it right over here. I'm going to buy it as soon
Tell me
as
when. I'll send you one. Give me your
okay.
address. I'll send
Okay,
you when I
perfect.
have
Yeah,
it.
perfect. Okay.
Yeah, one of my biggest regrets was I didn't do a vinyl run for The Way Up. I might go back and do it, later.
Now
But
is the vinyl for this place going to have like a colored vinyl or just a standard black? Okay. Ooh, I love a colored vinyl. Love color vinyl. Yes.
I did epic liner notes and everything. There's a whole, you'll have the whole experience. You'll open it up, you'll see the
Everything.
whole everything, all the story, all of my thoughts about my songwriting, which, maybe some people will be like, yeah, I just want to hear the songs. But people who are music geeks, I think, like reading about music. I
Oh,
love
they
liner
do. Yeah.
I love liner notes.
I miss the times where we just buy physical copies, the liners, the notes. I just love that stuff, That's so amazing. Yeah. And I'm
Just
not,
hearing.
yeah.
Sorry, go
And
ahead.
I'm not sure if you're a gamer, but I think that the song Runner could be a top contender in a new skateboard game, because that's such a great, I mean, Tony Hawk,
Lips to God's ears. If I could land a sync placement deal for that song and make
I
money, oh my
that's
God.
such a good song for that game. That would be perfect. Yeah, I was like,
Get
yes.
that. Oh, that's the dream, is to get someone to pay you the big bucks for your music.
I will. We're going to get you there, so you just,
Tell everybody get me that sync placement.
yes. Well, all right, everybody. So you can go to Rhea Banerjee. Hold on. Banerjee. Banerjee. Energy. It sounds like energy. Banerjee.
Yes, there you go.
See
There you
that?
go.
I find stuff to
Yep, you got
connect
the
here.
little
Banerjee. You can go to rayabanerjee.com and then you can see all of her fun stuff. She's on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, I think, right? TikTok?
No, I'm not on
No.
TikTok. I'm
Okay.
on mostly Instagram, Facebook, a little bit on Threads, YouTube. You can find me on
YouTube,
YouTube.
yeah. And you're on Threads, yep. YouTube, X, and Facebook, yeah, because I've got your Podmatch thing right there. Yeah.
Yeah. TikTok, TikTok frightens me.
I'm still trying to work. I am
I
I
don't get. I don't. I
I,
don't get it. I don't get
I
it. Maybe I'm. Maybe it's not.
don't
Maybe it's not for
know.
me.
Yeah.
Oh, it feels like
Maybe I'm too
something
old
else.
to get it, you know? I don't
That's
know.
that.
So
See, I was like, this seems like something the young kids like, and I'm just like, I don't.
It's
You
like I
know,
can't
but
do Snapchat
I know it's
anymore.
like. You know, I know a lot of people love it, and it's been a really great tool for a lot of musicians,
Yeah.
but I'm just kind of like, I don't really get how this works, so I'm just gonna
Right. I'm just
maybe YouTube. I
going
don't know how
to,
YouTube
yeah.
works, so
YouTube, right. Yeah, YouTube's my friend
YouTube.
too. So, all right. So we honestly do love you here at Wind River Trail, and we beg you to come back anytime you want to, okay?
I would love to. I would
All
love
right.
to come back.
Okay.
This has been one of the most fun conversations I've had about music in a long time. Your questions are great. I love your questions.
Thank you.
Because
And
it's like off the beaten path. It's not just like the
it's
blunt, you know, like stupid.
and I'm thinking outside the box to make it fun for you as for me, you know,
Yeah, no,
because I know
it's
you
super.
ask a lot of boring ass questions, you know, out there. So I just try to
Yeah.
make it fun for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. This was so much fun. I love it. I'll come back anytime and you can ask me all those same questions again and I'll give you a whole new set of answers.
There you go. And we might. And I might get with a band and come up with some music so you can do the ironic cover song that we talked about
That
earlier.
would be great.
That'd be
That would be
awesome.
great.
Yeah.
If you could make Sledgehammer happen too, that would make me sick.
Hey,
Yep,
sky's the limit, right? Yeah, hell yeah. So yeah, so
exactly.
yeah. Yeah, so we honestly thank you and love you and come back anytime you want to, okay?
All right. Thank you. This has
Thank
been
you so much.
fantastic.
All right. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening, and always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.